windows, and so many ways to save. Hurry in. The Ace Buy One Get One free sale ends Monday. Offers valid at participating stores. Buy select item and get designated item free. See store for details.
The Iowa Spring Scrimmage comes up tonight, the same day we say goodbye to a legendary coach from with Iowa ties. Also, we will tell you about a red-hot round on the PGA Tour. All that coming up on the Gym Class of Friday edition on KGYM. Oh, it's not a picture-perfect day, but by God, it feels a lot better today. Welcome in, Gym Class, for Friday, April 20th edition. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer. Almost a temperature with a 6 in front of it. Some places, it is. High 50s here in the metro area right now, and man, oh man, we are enjoying it. We're going to be enjoying it. Couple different places coming up tonight. Iowa City, Kinnick Stadium, the Iowa Spring Scrimmage going off. We'll talk about that with Tom Cakert of Hawkeye Report coming up here in just a little bit. For yours truly, myself, Carol Kelly, a few people from Z102.9 are going to be out at Veterans Memorial Stadium, Perfect Game Field tonight. Colonel's going to play baseball, ladies and gentlemen, which is news in and of itself. They will be hosting the Kane County Cougars tonight, Z102.9 Mug Club Night. Good time to come out and get your mug and have it refilled tonight and throughout the season. Tip your bartenders very nicely tonight. Not just because it's me and Carol and others, but the tips are going to go to the Last Hope Animal Rescue. So a great beneficiary there, near and dear to all of us. So looking forward to that. And the first 1,000 fans tonight are going to get a Royce Lewis bobblehead. Looking forward to that as well.
Should be a great night at the park, I would think. The Colonel's itchy to play. They went on a trip to Beloit. They ended up to be a sightseeing tour of their hotel rooms. Didn't play. The Colonel's haven't played in 6 days, but are poised to open a 7-game homestand tonight, 6:35, first pitch. And it should be a great night for the Iowa spring scrimmage as well.
Yeah, not a game. It is a spring scrimmage.
Practice.
Whatever. Yeah. They're going into the south end zone, too. They have the sections in the west stands open, and they'll have some sections in the south stands open as well. Nothing in the north, obviously. Mm-hmm. Nothing on the east side as well. Gym Class being presented, as always, by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Thank you very much to Third Base for helping us out. When you're at Third Base, you're almost home. We have a Drake Relays giveaway again coming up today. A pair of passes to next Friday night session for the Drake Relays, which includes the world-class invitation only 100. And that will be coming up next Friday night. We'll give those tickets away today here on the program. Colonels may not be as anxious as the the Burlington Bees are today. They have put up 28 down at Community Field. They are ahead 28-3 in their game. So, yeah, you never know what's going to happen when you haven't played in 6 days. Have to kick the rust off a little bit, kick the tires, make sure everything's still working properly. But no problems with pitching staff being overloaded, that's for sure.
Yeah, the utility infielder is probably pitching for the Quad Cities, right?
I would imagine that would be the case. We're going to talk to Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com, about Iowa spring scrimmage. That'll be coming up here in just a little bit. But before we get to happy news today on a beautiful sunny day like this, Zach Johnson, cowabunga, started yesterday in the last 5 holes of his round when he was kind of teetering there at about, 2 over? Went to his final 5 holes, turned it around, and man alive, whatever he did yesterday, keep it up.
Yeah, very hot round for Zach Johnson. He's, of course, from Cedar Rapids, but he's found a home in Texas. He's won 4 PGA tournaments, including this tournament twice, the Valero Texas Open. albeit on a different course. But today, Zach's shooting a 7-under par 65. Six birdies. Excuse me, an eagle. The lone blemish, a bogey. Excuse me, on his 18th hole of the ninth, where he three-putted. But brilliant round for Zach. Right now, he and Ryan Moore minus -9 for the tournament and three clear of the next closest pursuers. So Zach's set up to maybe win a third Texas Open.
Yeah, and on two different courses, like you mentioned. He had a hole out from a bunker today.
Didn't even see it.
No,
that's
didn't
such
see
a
it.
Deep bunker.
Didn't see it at all. And that's a tough course. The TPC down there that they're playing for the Valero Texas Open. But man alive, just a great job by Zach. And good to see him up there. He's three clear along with Ryan Moore at this present time. So, boy, it'd be great if Zach can get a win.
Yeah, he was plus +3 through 13 holes yesterday. And he went an eagle and three birdies in his last five holes. Finished minus -2. And then, of course, he was 7-under today. So 12-under. His last 23 holes.
Not bad. Not bad out there. 319-366-1600. That is our text line, the Hurtien & Stocker Jewelers text line. They are located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. Want to get to this before we talk a little bit about the passing of a legend today. And tomorrow, Mark, we'll talk more about this because I'm compiling my list here, my annual list. I got two lists today, by the way. The annual list of NBA...
Oh, boy.
...draft eligibles. You have until tomorrow, if you are a college basketball player, to put your name in for early entry into the NBA draft. Then you have until May 30th to withdraw your name. Chad Lystico retweeted this, one of the ESPN basketball writers today, did the math. Right now, it's a two-round draft with 30 NBA teams. You're only guaranteed a contract if you are drafted in the first round. So do the math right there. You got 30. Right now, underclassmen and international players, there are 175 as of today. 176, because the Kansas big man's entered the draft today but will not sign an agent. So 176 players, underclassmen or international players, that are going to be, at least at this moment, putting their name in for draft consideration to go along with the oodles out there that are actual seniors that have exhausted their eligibility. And again, we'll go over that next week when the list becomes official. But that's the problem with the NBA system right now. Yeah, basically, there's no they have the G League, but players complain that the G League doesn't pay well enough. Other reasons, blah, blah, blah. Do we need a minor league in basketball like they have something similar in baseball out there? Still not going to be able to pay players what they're getting or what they're wanting to get out there. But you've got, if all these players go through, and they won't, guys like Isaiah Moss and Tyler Cook, but you've got so many players on this list that are going to be playing in Europe, that are going to be playing overseas, that are going to be playing in the G League, or just they won't be playing next year.
Well, we talked to Michael Oss last Monday, and he pointed out the Purdue player that averaged 2 points a game.
Yeah, on there.
As declared.
And I know that they go through the process like Isaiah Moss is doing. They're going to get feedback, whatever, and they will tell them, please go back to school. Not all of them will. Most will at that time. But this is a broken system, and it's got to get fixed somehow in the next few years. 319-366-1600. More on that coming up next week when that list becomes official. The NFL schedules came out last night. We'll go over that here in just a little bit. But the sad news of the day today, woke up with this. We said goodbye to Earl Bruce today. Former Iowa State coach, of course, probably best known as the Ohio State University coach for many, many years. Also coached a short stint for the University of Northern Iowa in Cedar Falls after his days in Columbus, Ohio. But he was a Hall of Famer, Terrific coach, well-loved by the college football fraternity out there. And Earl Bruce passes away today at the age of 87.
He's a likable guy in my mind. And
I'm not going to say run-ins or anything like that.
No.
But just interactions with Earl Bruce.
Well, it turns out, as I reflected today, I was involved or there to experience the beginning and the end of his Ohio State career. If you remember at the Gator Bowl in 1978, Woody Hayes, the legendary Ohio State coach, was fired after he decided to slug Auburn.
No, Clemson.
Or Clemson, I'm sorry.
Charlie Baumann.
Charlie Baumann, who, by the way, in ensuing years, lived in Cincinnati and went to many Ohio State games, kind of unannounced, but that's neither here nor there. But Earl Bruce quickly became a prime candidate to succeed Hayes. And it turns out that I had a really good source at Iowa State. I was at the Gazette, tender age of 22. I'd been there 4 or 5 years, but maybe make a longer story short, it came to pass that Bruce and Ohio State were getting very serious, and I called. His name's Terry Ernest, and he was the younger brother of the best man at my wedding. And Terry was from Jefferson and played at Iowa State at the time, a defensive lineman. I had corresponded with him. Well, on the night of January 10th, 1979, I don't remember whether I called Terry or he called me, and he said, just got out of a meeting. And it was actually a training table at which Earl Bruce appeared and told his players he was going to Ohio State. So Terry related this to me. I wrote the story, one source story, but I was pretty sure of it. And turned out I was the first one to break it nationally. And he was named the head coach the next day. Very fortunate. I didn't have to work particularly hard at my sources. But
that's who you know, right?
That was my first big break, and it happened to be Earl Bruce going to Ohio State. And then fast forward to 1987, I'm on the Iowa beat, and that was Iowa's game at Ohio State, the famous 28-yard touchdown pass from Hartlieb to Cook.
Last play of the game.
Last play of the game. Iowa out of timeouts. It's fourth and forever. And Hartlieb hits Cook, and Cook, by his own description, maybe crossed the goal line by an inch or so. And Ohio State Stadium became quiet, very quiet. Earl Bruce summarily fired, but was allowed to coach
the Michigan
against
game.
Michigan and beat Michigan, yep, as I recall. But that was the end of the Earl Bruce era. I mean, his first year, he nearly won a national championship at Ohio State, lost by 1 point. And, I mean, like many Ohio State coaches, had a really good career. I think he was only 6-4-1 that year in 1987 when he got fired, 5-4-1 after Iowa beat him on that last second play. But just a couple anecdotes for you. I always liked him. He was, like I say, a consummate football guy. He was pretty straightforward. And I guess another thing I remember, and you will too, when he was at Iowa State and came out, unpacked beat Iowa uniforms.
Oh, yes, in 1977.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, when that rivalry was renewed after so many decades off, that game down in Iowa City that was on television. Everyone was all excited, and it turned out to be one of the clinkers of all time.
12-10,
as Iowa nipped Iowa State that particular year. Your thoughts, Earl Bruce, 319-366-1600. Give us a call or share your thoughts via the Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers text line. Had some very productive years at Iowa State over in Ames. Kind of got the ship righted. You take a look at some of the people that Iowa State had back in that era. Earl Bruce, of course, Johnny Majors back in that era, kind of morphed into Donnie Duncan, who I believe was on the staff for Earl Bruce, at least for a time anyway. I'm not positive on that, but I thought I saw a picture earlier on that had Donnie Duncan in it, but I might be wrong on that. But at any rate, some pretty good teams. They got things turned around, and Earl was there when the plans were put forth for the new stadium, what is now known as Jack Trice Stadium. And, of course, the former stadium was, let's just say, among Division Oners, it wasn't one of the best. Let's just say that.
No.
An old, on a corner, a busy street corner in Ames.
Another anecdote I'll share with you, and I'm sure our friend Dan Schonka from OurLads.com, a regular guest on the program, won't mind me sharing. I was conversing with him on social media today. And he was watching the Ohio State-Clemson game next to then Iowa State athletic director Lou McCullough. And when Hayes slugged Bauman, Lou McCullough turned to Dan, according to Dan, and said, "We just lost Earl."
Oh, really?
And like a day or two later, Ohio State's calling Lou McCullough. And the rest is history.
Yeah, Earl Bruce... like I said, put Iowa State football on the map at that time. And kind of very, I'm not going to say it's exactly the case that's going on right now with Matt Campbell and what he's doing in Ames, but you know, you can draw some parallels to it. And then after Ohio State, Earl Bruce went on to coach, I believe, two seasons, or was it one season? Let me check on that, up in Cedar Falls. For the University of Northern Iowa.
Maybe coached the Iowa Barnstormers at one time as well.
I think you're right.
In the Arena League.
I think you're right. We will we'll make sure and check on it right there. But Earl Bruce passing away today at the age of 87. Was a high school coach. Mentioned Ohio State. Let's see. Just to make sure here. Yeah, 1 year for Northern Iowa. And you and I did not have a particularly good year. That particular year, 5-6 season, and 3-3 in conference play. Went on to coach Colorado State as well in the WAC, and just couldn't get things really going there. He had a record of 81-26-1, though, at Ohio State.
And got fired.
Took Iowa State to two bowl games, the 1977 Peach Bowl, the 1978 Hall of Fame Classic. Which I believe was played in Birmingham.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
At that time. Were you there in lovely Birmingham? No.
I started covering Iowa State the next year in 1980.
Missed out on that Birmingham trip.
Duncan came on board.
Yeah, I had a 36-32 record at Iowa State, but the first 3 years, he went 4-7. And the last 3 years, 8-3, 8-4, 8-4. So 8-3, 8-3, 8-3 for the regular season. Pretty good at that time for Iowa State football.
Darn right.
Yeah. 20 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We are going to talk to Tom Cakert coming up here in just a little bit after our remembrances of Earl Bruce right there. And we'll go through at the end of the program the NFL schedules that came out last night. Prime time for your Bears the first 2 weeks. And then that's it.
Open at Green Bay, is that right?
On a Sunday night.
Yeah.
At Lambeau Field. Is it better to play Green Bay when it's at least somewhat warm? And
I'm not scared of Green Bay this year.
In Wisconsin, you're not scared. Well, no. Now mark it down, 37-7, Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers will throw 4 or 5 touchdown passes and 526 yards, because you said that. And then the Bears will have their second game also in prime time on a Monday night. So that's it, unless things get flexed out.
Playing Thanksgiving Day as well.
Against
part
Detroit.
Of the triple header. Yeah.
Against Detroit. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We got the Drake Relays tickets to give away, but when we come back, we're going to talk to Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com. Iowa, don't call it a spring game. It's a spring scrimmage coming up tonight. We'll get Tom's views on it when we return.
Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative is committed to providing electricity that's reliable, cost-effective, and sustainable. Did you know nearly 60% of their electricity comes from emission and carbon-free resources? That minimizes the impact on our natural environment, which is good for everybody. How does Linn County REC do this? With their generation mix. It's a diverse fuel mix of coal, nuclear, hydro, landfill gas generation, wind, solar, natural gas, and oil energy resources. When Linn County REC members switch on a light or the computer, they know they're using more sustainable and environmentally friendly power. And with such a variety of energy sources in the mix, it also means increased reliability across a broad spectrum of conditions, including severe weather here in Iowa. The Generation Mix is good stuff, and just another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
Cedar Rapids Colonels, let the good times roll.
This Saturday is Star Wars Night at the Colonels. The first 1,000 fans will receive a free Han Solo t-shirt, and fans can meet Star Wars characters on the concourse. The team will wear Star Wars jerseys that'll be sold via silent auction to benefit autism awareness. Visit Colonels.com for game times and to order tickets. And may the Force be with you.
This is the sound of money. So is this. And this. It may not sound like money to you, but it will. Because you'll get paid while you learn to do it all. That's how the apprenticeship program at Carpenters Union, Local 308, Local 1260, and Local 678 works. You earn while you learn. So, no student debt. Check out carpentersunionapprenticeship.com. This is how you build a career.
It is over in Burlington. Quad Cities kicked a field goal in the ninth. But it's still a three-touchdown victory for the Burlington Bees, 28-7, as they beat the Quad City River Bandits today. First time Quad Cities has given up more than 20 runs in 24 years. So there you go. All sorts. You never know what you're going to see when you go out to the ballpark.
You really don't. And check it out tonight, Colonels and South Bend at 6:35 at the stadium.
Kane County.
Yeah. 15:45 on the text line. Iowa State wore their normal jerseys during warmups, then came back out for the kickoff with the beat Iowa jerseys. I believe that's absolutely correct, because I remember the locker room going crazy when Earl Bruce broke out the jerseys, and everybody loved it.
That was a time there were no alternate jerseys, ladies and gentlemen. No. That wasn't like today when you've got 150 different combinations.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty big stuff.
86-50 on my comment about the Packers. Anyone who says they aren't scared of Aaron Rodgers is lying.
It's already starting. More on the NFL schedules coming up.
Talk to you in September.
Tom Kaker of HawkeyeReport.com joining us here. The Hawkeye Spring Scrimmage coming up tonight at Kinnick Stadium in Iowa City. And, you know, just the way we planned it, Tom, good afternoon. And, you know, have a horrible 2 months of weather. And it breaks just in time to have football tonight, right?
Well, there's a few people happy about that, one of them being me. Because generally I stay outside for the spring game. So been out there for a few frigid ones in the last few years. And this one, thankfully, will be comfortable and not much wind either so far. So it looks like a good night to watch some football.
What are you going to be looking for and at tonight, Tom?
You know, a couple things on the defensive side. Obviously we're going to focus in on, the linebackers because there's three new faces there. Particularly interested in seeing, Amani, Jones, the new middle linebacker. At least it looks like he's the guy that's winning the job right now or ahead, for the job right now at middle linebacker. So I'm really interested to see him. That's probably the top guy there that I'm interested in. On the offensive side, I think wide receiver and running back are probably the most interesting. just because they're replacing guys that at running back, at least Akram this year, that were very productive. And we saw a little bit of Ivory Kelly Martin and Torn Young last year, but I want to see more. And then at wide receiver, they need Brandon Smith and Amir Smith-Marset to kind of emerge this year, I think. And so I'm interested to see their development in their first spring with the Hawkeyes, but heading into their second year.
I think a lot of eyes are going to be on the wide receiver spot, especially after the glowing reviews that were given to the wide receivers and considering what has happened the last few years anyway. So I think that's where a lot of the paying customers, for lack of a better word, are going to be looking tonight.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And you look at it from the perspective of the entire offense, they've got some real studs at tight end with Noah Fant and TJ Hockenson for sure that have proven that they're going to be very productive. And the wide receiver really wasn't, other than Nick Easley, who we haven't talked about, but led the team in catches last year. But I think you can count on Easley, but I think it would really open up the offense even more if they could get Smith or Smith-Marset to really emerge as offensive weapons in the 2018 season.
Despite a fairly lousy spring scrimmage last year, Nate Stanley had a very productive year as the Iowa quarterback, and he's cemented there. But then you've got a battle for number two. Obviously, Tom, you never know what's going to happen on a given Saturday. How do you evaluate these two guys vying for number two?
Yeah, it is. Remember last year, it was a battle between Stanley and Uyghurs under the first year of Brian Ferentz, so they're learning a new offense. They're battling each other for the job, and it was pretty brutal last year. And also throw in, they basically had no one to throw to at receiver, and it was just not a good-looking thing. But Stanley really played well last year with 26 touchdowns and did well. I think he wants to improve his completion percentage. But that backup job, last year you knew you had Uyghurs there. Now he's gone at Eastern Michigan. Ryan Boyle taking a graduate transfer option. Not sure where he's going to land, but he'll end up somewhere good. And then, they've got two really new faces. Peyton Manziel, who was on campus last year, but he didn't play a snap. He was a scout team guy. And Spencer Petras, who came in at semester, graduated early from high school. And from what I've been told, has looked really good, improved every time out, and is getting a lot better, whereas Manziel's been maybe a little kind of up and down. So, you could see a couple years ago, Stanley was a true freshman and won the backup job. Maybe we could see a repeat of that this year.
With those two guys so close and battling it out, could you see a scenario maybe develop where if, say, one beats out the other one, one maybe could be departing, or is it just way too early to even speculate about that?
Yeah, I think it's way too early to speculate about that. One thing you could see happen, though, is that they don't play Petras this year at all, kind of trying to preserve that redshirt year and put a little distance between he and Manziel. And unless it was a kind of a longer-term injury, and then maybe you take the redshirt off and go with Petras. But you could hide him for a year, even though he could be, depth chart, second team, but he doesn't play.
Akram Wadley, very productive last year, Tom, and I know you'll agree with that. He'll be in an NFL training camp very soon. Appears Torn Young is the guy back there. But Iowa very rarely, if ever, counts on one running back. So what's the pecking order there, and could we see a freshman back there in the mix?
It's thin right now. It really is. I mean, I thought coming into the spring that it might be a kind of a two-headed monster like it was in 2016 when you had Akram and LaShawn Daniels. And there's kind of a little bit of a comparison. I think Torrance pretty close to what LaShawn Daniels is in terms of running style. Ivory Kelly Martin, not as dynamic as Akram Wadley, but kind of some of the same skill set that you like. And I thought maybe that would be the case, but it seems like Torrin might be a workhorse back, more like they did with Sean Green back in the day, where he was just kind of the guy that went. But we got a lot of time before they have to make that decision. I still think we're going to see plenty of Ivory Kelly Martin. But beyond that, Kyshawn Bryant is the third string guy, and he's a redshirt freshman. So I think there's a real opportunity for someone like a Henry Guile or perhaps even a Samson Evans, two true freshmen that are coming in. They could get into that mix beyond the first two. And as you know, they're probably going to play two, maybe three guys at some point during the season. So they're going to need to develop some depth there. And right now they don't have a ton of depth on campus.
Tom Caker to HawkeyeReport.com joining us here on the Friday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. Mm-hmm. And it might be a little bit harder tonight with the scrimmage type setting or the glorified practice or whatever you want to deem it instead of a game situation. But if you had to, put your $2 in Las Vegas, who would be that guy to be Mr. April this year that we'll all be talking about going into fall camp?
I wrote about that. There's always a guy that just sort of pops up out of nowhere. I don't even remember what year it was, but there was a tight end who was about a fifth string guy, Tyler Gerstead. And mm-hmm. he had a huge spring game, had like four or five catches and, like a touchdown or something. And everybody thought, what about this kid? And then we never heard from him again. Of course, last year we had Jake Gervais with a bunch of interceptions and he looked really good. And then, ended up starting because Brandon Snyder was coming back, lost the job. And then by the end of the year, he was back in the starting lineup and playing really well. Here's my off the wall guy that I'm just kind of intrigued with, Kyle Grunewig, who's a high school teammate, actually, of Brandon Snyder. Really fast kid. Maybe he'll end up just being more of a punt returner, but they're looking for a guy to be that third, fourth, fifth wide receiver that they can run out there. And he's got great speed. That's the type of guy that could, maybe take the cover off one time and make a big play down the field and turn a few heads.
That's the guy that I was anticipating as well. So we'll see if our instincts are right, Tom, or we're completely
off. That just means he's probably going to get hurt tonight.
I hope not.
Hey, Tom, I know Hawkeye Report has had a story or two about Ahmad Wagner and the former Iowa basketball player and he's going to visit Kentucky, I think I read. Louisville and others have shown some interest. What do you think is going to happen with Ahmad Wagner in terms of whether he's going to go somewhere else or stay at Iowa?
I think the interesting thing is, does Iowa have a scholarship for him? And I think that may be one of the issues that's come up. If you look at his situation, it's advantageous for him if he wants to play right away to just stay at Iowa, because then he doesn't have the transfer rule where he has to sit for a year and then he'd be able to potentially play two instead of if he goes somewhere else, he's only going to get 1 year. So I would think Iowa has an advantage there, but I think there might be in a pickle with scholarships and they're trying to figure that out. So that's why he should look around, see if it's the right football situation for him. Kentucky, Louisville, Cincinnati, Akron are some of the other schools that he's going to look at. I'm really curious to see, how he does. I think a lot of people think, wow, he's a really great athlete. He'll just be able to go out there and play football and do really well. It's just not that simple. I mean, mm-hmm. he's been away from the game for 3 years, and this isn't like riding a bike. It's a little more complex than that, and it's a little more challenging than that. So and he's got to figure out what position he's going to end up playing. Is he going to be a tight end, and does he need to add weight and strength in that area? Or Iowa has kind of thought of him as a wide receiver, and then you've got a really unique mismatch problem with a guy who's 6'6", 6'7", 235 pounds to go along with a big guy like Noah Fant and TJ Hawkinson. I mean, that's like a basketball front line for a college team with those guys. So it's going to be really interesting to see what ends up doing.
Yeah, a lot of people have him already in one of the all-time greats for the Hawkeyes, though. So be careful, as I always say. Just be careful about that. I don't know what's going to happen with kicking, special teams, what have you tonight, but punting is going to be scrutinized again this year for the Iowa football team. Same two punters in camp again, and we'll see how it comes out when the smoke clears, I guess.
Yeah, it's I don't know how much we're going to end up getting to see. You know, tonight they'll probably do a little bit of work, but I don't know that we'll get to see a lot of work from the kicking game, just because, you know, that one end zone's really going to be limited. So I'm guessing those guys will get out, get some kicks up early, but I don't know that they'll do a ton of work. But they've got to get better on the punting game. Rusinos is terrific. I think he's, you know, solidly number one right now. But after that, I think there's some real question marks in terms of, you know, is it Rastetter? Is it going to be Gersandi? And, you know, the return game is not solidified yet. I think Gronewig's probably going to be the punt returner, but kickoff return, you could see a lot of different options. Maybe Amir Smith-Marset, who had a little bit of a unfortunate incident during the season on one of the kickoffs, but maybe he's matured a little bit and maybe gets another shot there.
Tom, I know one of the sidelights tonight and tomorrow, I guess, is visits by 2019 prospects. And I know you're all over this. What can you tell us?
Yeah, they've got a real strong group coming in this weekend. There's a running back coming in for an official visit, Goodson. He's out of Georgia, and he's a teammate of Jaden McDonald, Tyler Goodson. And he's coming in for his official visit. It's been interesting to see how Iowa's going to handle these official visits at this point, because they can bring them in now. This is the first spring where you can bring guys in for an official visit during the month of April. And they've been kind of guarded about doing it, but there's going to be some exceptions for guys that are kind of out of the region that can't afford to, you know, can't afford plane tickets and getting their folks up here. So they're doing an official visit with him this weekend. Also, Jareel Brock, a kid out of Quincy, Illinois, running back, is probably their top guy, I think, on their wish list at running back. And he is terrific. I've seen him a couple times, and power back, but also shifty. And he just announced his list of seven schools. And it's all pretty much Big Ten, except for Iowa State, on that list. And so he's going to be a Midwest guy. And frankly, his race may come down to Iowa and Iowa State, from what we've been told.
Well, the race was between Iowa and Iowa State for the most part when Iowa picked up Jack Campbell. And I know the Hawkeye coaching staff was very, very happy they got the Cedar Falls linebacker.
Yeah, he's terrific. He's got really good size, and the weight training program was a big deal for him. And I thought that was, a real selling point when he said that the strength and conditioning program would be a key factor in his decision. I kind of thought, well, he's kind of tipping his hand. Well, not tipping his hand at this point. And he was going to pick Iowa, and he did. And that's a great pickup. Kid who can probably redshirt his freshman year, bulk up a little bit, and then be ready to go as a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, very terrific. Reminds me a lot of Pat Anger, except a little bit bigger and maybe a little faster. Sorry, Pat.
Turns out that Pat's career, he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Well, Pat's, I see Pat quite a bit, and he's like fat and slow and still short.
hey, you said it, not me, man.
I did.
Before we let you go, a little basketball. Obviously, Isaiah Moss and Tyler Cook putting their names into the draft. They have till May 30th to take their names out of the draft anyway. And there's been so much speculation. I think everyone's in agreement that Isaiah Moss is just going through the process, however you feel about it. And we talked about it earlier on. The jury's out, though, on Tyler Cook. A lot of people saying that he has played his last game for the Iowa Hawkeyes. Gut feeling for you at this point on April 20th?
I've said this since probably early March when I was at the Big Ten tournament. I'd heard just a lot of people telling me who are connected to the kind of agent world that were around Madison Square Garden, that I know some guys who kind of frequent those circles, and they basically told me they think he's going to go and he's going to stick in the draft. And so until I hear something different, that's kind of what I'm thinking, is that Tyler is going to stay in the draft. And even if he doesn't get drafted, and, you know, I keep looking at these mock drafts like everybody else, and I don't see his name on there, but it just seems to indicate to me that he's willing to bet on himself and stay in the draft. But we'll see. I'd never rule anything out. Maybe he has a change of heart. But I think right now, if you told me, hey, you got to put down a bet, I'm betting that he's going to stay in.
By the way, number 177 just said he was going to get into the draft. That's Mike Dom of South Dakota State, but will not sign an agent. So there are 30 spots.
Is he the big guy?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. And, that's, I'm still waiting for Todd Brommelkamp to declare for the draft.
He may have. He's got till 4 o'clock today to think about it. He can get in. Think about it during the show. He's got show, duties to take care of.
I'd like to read that evaluation.
Stop it.
wouldn't be any worse than mine.
No, yeah. Mine would say shoots a lot. Hey, but without Tyler, let's just play devil's advocate and say no Tyler Cook next year in this team. What's this team going to look like? It's going to be, Luca Garza liked to patrol that perimeter a little bit and got pretty darn good at it at the end of last year. Do they go a 4 out, 5 out maybe for this basketball team, stick pencil inside? And it opens up some interesting analysis here.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those situations where you probably see Pemsel move in there and play the four. Although you could, I think maybe you could make a case. You could play Nicholas Baer was a bit of a four, a couple of years ago. I know he's played more three lately, but, he could potentially be a four. Or you could, go for Jack Nungy, who is probably a more natural in terms of size and athletic ability, a four. And you could go five out with the way he can shoot and the way Garza can shoot. And really create some different mismatches in that area. I would worry about rebounding quite a bit if that were the case, though. But I still think the biggest issue for Iowa basketball is they've got to get better defensively.
Yeah.
And until they do that, they're going to have their struggles. Defense, yeah, part of it's scheme, but a whole lot of it is desire and effort, and they've got connectivity on that end of the floor that Fran's talked about, and they've got to get a lot better on that in those areas, as well as Fran's got to figure out what button that he needs to push to get these guys to guard better.
We got one more question from young Kyle over there.
Yeah, actually just took a call from somebody. And
oh, okay.
Yeah, this
not
is
not your question then.
Well, it's something I'm curious about. I was kind of took me off guard to see that Iowa took an in-home visit with a five-star basketball guy the other day, Keon Brooks, and I was just kind of surprised to see them even linked together. How much stock should we put into the fact that they at least got a visit?
They've built a pretty good relationship with him. There's several guys that are kind of like that. Tracy Jackson Davis, another kid out of Indiana, is a high four-star, may get to a five-star level. DJ Carton, the kid out of Bettendorf, who's knocking on the door now of being a five-star in that class as well. And Iowa had home visits with all those guys, and it's just getting in there and meeting with the player and their parents and getting to know them a little bit better. But Keon had Indiana, Purdue, UCLA, Ohio State, Michigan State. I mean, everybody was in there knocking on that kid's door. So we'll see if they can. The big thing that I think they've tried to do with Keon is try to get him on campus, and he hasn't done that yet, where Tracy Jackson Davis has been out. DJ Carton's been to Iowa City several times. So they feel like they have a better shot if they can get the kid to actually come out and especially on their own dime and pay a visit.
Yeah, DJ Carton's the big diamond, the big prize out there right now. Tom, we'll let you get ready to head to Iowa City. Thank you very much. Keep up the great work at Hawkeye Report, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Always enjoy it.
All right. Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com, joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We're going to go to break. As we go to break, going to give you the opportunity to pick up the pair of tickets to next Friday night's session of the Drake Relays. They're going to have the big Invitational 100. Eight world-class Olympic athletes will be there. Two terrific collegians are going to be there as well. And, of course, all the great track and field that goes on at the Drake Relays. Please only give us a call if you can use the tickets. That's all we ask. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. We'll take caller number six. You are going to pick up the tickets to next Friday night's running of the Drake Relays. Back with more after this.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Winning at sports and at sports broadcasting means changing things up.
Just like La Quinta Inns and Suites is changing up their look.
A renovated lobby that's so contemporary it even makes Golic look cool.
Yes, it does. And a totally updated fitness center that even has Wingo feeling like a workout.
I'm ripped. Plus plenty of comfortable spaces to hang out.
Yep, this La Quinta look definitely has a vibe of victory.
So you can just relax, refresh, and get ready for your next big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQ.com.
Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store for O'Reilly Universal Premixed Antifreeze and Coolant for only $6.99 a gallon. Protect your engine from overheating with O'Reilly Universal Premixed Antifreeze and Coolant, now $6.99 a gallon at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's official. Weekends at Buffalo Wild Wings just got better. For a limited time, get $3 select domestic pint beers and $4 select shareables all day Saturday and Sunday. Weekends are also for sports, as mandated by Buffalo Wild Wings. Watch all the games with people that are here for the right reason. With dozens of beers on tap and 21 different flavors of sauces and seasonings. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings, beer, sports. See participating location for details. Restrictions apply. Please drink responsibly.
Congratulations going out to Derek in Cedar Rapids. He is the winner of the Drake Relays tickets for next Friday. Big thanks to Tom Cakert for joining us. We'll talk about the Iowa spring scrimmage with Mike Halas coming up on Monday. Mark Morehouse coming up on Wednesday. I know Mark's going to join the guys to preview the Iowa scrimmage coming up on the Todd Brommelkamp show. Jack Dom will also join the guys today as well, touching all bases, talking a little bit of baseball from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. And then we've got NBA basketball game 3, Pacers-Cavaliers will join up with ESPN's coverage at 7 o'clock, probably in the second quarter. And the Twins at Tampa tonight to take on the Rays will join up probably about third, fourth inning right there at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM tonight, Mark.
Poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. When would you prefer Iowa's spring game be played? Friday or Saturday?
Ooh.
Thanks to Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Do you have a preference at all?
Saturday for sure.
Like Saturday, I think I do as well. Just because it's much easier to get out there on a Saturday.
Saturday, 1 o'clock. How about that?
For old time's sake. You are itching for a 1 o'clock start for something, aren't you? That's your thing. That is your thing. Yes, folks, they used to start football games at 1 o'clock.
Loved it.
And that happens in the Iowa Conference. It doesn't happen in the Big Ten or the Big 12 anymore. We got to come back, and we're going to talk about the NFL schedules a little bit. We like to do this every year, talk about who got the majority of the prime time tidbits for NFL. We'll do that when we come back.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Pate Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Pate Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Pate Asphalt. See them at pateasphalt.com.
summer will arrive, guaranteed. So come to Sun and Fun Motorsports tomorrow from 9 to 3 for the tent sale and open house. Stop by, dig into free food, sign up for door prizes, and get sale pricing on all 2017 models. If the weather cooperates, there will be games outside, too. Save on every 2017 model, see what's new for 2018, and get ready for another great season. Come to the open house tomorrow from 9 to 3 at Sun and Fun Motorsports, 155 Escort Lane Southwest in Iowa City.
Everyone is invited to St. Andrew's opening party on Sunday, May 20th. There's an optional Wednesday game on Sunday for a $30 entry fee with a shotgun start at 9 a.m. Then from 1 until 3, St. Andrews supplies a shrimp in an open bar, and you bring along a covered dish. A short program will also be held at 2 o'clock. Remember, the golf is optional, the public is welcome, and the party is a free bar and shrimp. Just bring a covered dish on May 20th at St. Andrews Golf Club, 1866 Blair's Ferry Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind, in school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn, for real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Hi, we're back on the Gym Class to wrap things up. Todd Bromel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn is coming your way next on KGYM. Schedules for the NFL came out last night. Season starts with the Thursday nighter between the world champion Philadelphia Eagles as they host the Atlanta Falcons, which should be a good one. Mark, 10 teams have the most games that you can have.
Dallas Cowboys.
You got it, baby. Only three Sunday nighters this year for the Cowboys, though, as opposed to their usual four or five. But yeah, they are there. The other nine teams, you can probably guess. New England, yes. Pittsburgh, yes. Dallas, we got them. The Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay. New Orleans, though. And then three teams from the suddenly sexy NFC West. The Rams, the Seahawks, and the San Francisco 49ers. You can tell the NFL is banking on the Houston Texans because they're on four times, despite a 6-10 record or 4-12 record last year. But maybe the hottest young quarterback out there, and J.J. Watt. Also banking on John Gruden making the Oakland Raiders significant this year.
How many times is the Raiders on?
Raiders are on four times.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, I should mention as well, the 10th team that's on five times is the Kansas City Chiefs, the AFC West champions from last year. Teams that not so much in America, which surprises me. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who made it to the AFC Championship, are only on twice.
Cleveland?
Next year. They have one. Since Rick Swan, Cincinnati Bengals only won. The L.A. Chargers on only once. Buffalo, despite 9-7 last year, only on once. And the Bruiners, Miami Dolphins.
Those are probably Thursday games, right?
Dolphins Thursday night. Buffalo's got a Monday nighter out there. Your Bears are on twice. The Vikings get four next year. Carolina, despite going 11-5, they only get two. Atlanta made the playoffs, had a good run. They only get three next year. You have to be on at least once on a Thursday night.
Thanksgiving Day schedule, we mentioned Chicago at Detroit, and then we've got Washington and Dallas.
Correct.
And the Saints and Falcons, the night game, right?
Second straight year it's been all NFC on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Which, of course, got the AFC-loving people all hyped up on social networking last night. But, you know, it is what it is, and I think they did a pretty good job with it. At least, well, this year it's the second week. We almost had, for the 100th year in a row, Giants-Cowboys on Monday night or Sunday night to open things up, but your Bears are on Sunday night. They moved the Giants in Dallas to the second Sunday night game of the year.
Wait a minute, the Bears-Packers at night?
Yeah, Sunday night.
Wow.
Sunday night, prime time. And then the Bears go the next Monday night. And then they see a lot of daylight after that. Unless they get really good.
I liked week five. I like their chances.
It's not the Chiefs,
it's
I know.
It's the bye week.
Yeah, everybody gets that bye week. Colts are only on once. Chargers, we mentioned Miami, Buffalo, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Tampa, along with Arizona. Arizona was 8-8. They only get one. So there you go. Schedules are out, and check them out online out there. Have a very good weekend. I know a lot of people are going to get out and enjoy it. Have a lot of fun. Enjoy the sun, and we'll talk to everybody.
Take advantage, folks.
All right. See you tonight out at the ballpark. Stop on by.
Hi there. I'm here for your basement.
Yes. Thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Yeah, what seems to be the problem?
It's my basement. It's bad.
Sure. Let's take a look.
No, you don't understand. It's gotten a little out of hand. A pipe leaked in the ceiling and it never quit.
Well, let's assess the damage.
Okay. Hi there.
Who's this?
I told you it was bad.
You two look like you could use ponchos.
The other day it was just a leak, and then this...